The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
We might not be back, I might be in jail, I might be anywhere. But when I leave, you remember I said, with the last words on my lips, I am a revolutionary.
Revolution comes with a price tag. You a slave to a flag in a country that clearly doesn't love you when they probably never have. Told you turn the other cheek, and they made it with a bat. Fucking protesting them citizens. Told you go fight in the war. Vietnam, you dagger riddance. The man of the house rule took you from your siblings. Turned around a pump crack right up in your city. And they turned all your leaders to martyrs. You was off in the war, now who was guarding your daughters? It was riots in the streets, killed Malcolm and Martin. Called the National Guard up because we ride with our guard up. And that was burning your guard. The Second Amendment don't apply. Lie to you. Everything that they taught you was a lie to you. See, they scared of your skin and they dying to shoot. Take the American dream and then you die to pursue.
One day it'll all make sense. It's feeling about power, then it don't make sense. But none of that money matters when you live in madness. The one that you figure out that all you got is this. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger.
Good afternoon and welcome to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting from behind the enemy lines known as USA Inc. Today's date is September 25th, 2015. It's a little after 4 o'clock p.m. here on the East Coast. Hope that you all are feeling better than I was yesterday, so I want to apologize for my absence from the airwaves on Thursday. Feeling real bad yesterday. Really, it was from a lack of sleep. I went through a work period where I was up all night and up a couple of nights and lack of sleep, and then your body come crashing down. So I was working on a campaign to ride the or try to create a buzz around the Justice Is Not For Sale Act, which was introduced 4 or 5 days ago, which the mainstream media is conveniently still trying to ignore. But like I heard from attorney Angela Chen when she was a guest on the program, and her writing for the Huffington Post and others I talked to in the industry said that the mainstream media is usually behind the media that is produced by the people on the internet, the independent media. They usually behind. So I'm still waiting. I don't see how they can continue to ignore it, this historic legislation, but we definitely as media producers have to do our part. And that's why several of the programs on Black Talk Radio Network is trying to line up some of what we would call quote unquote experts, people with degrees, law professors, attorney of the year in one state, and get them to come on and analyze the bill. Even reach out to Michelle Alexander, Angela Davis, because see, that's what we should be hearing people talking about, the merits, debating this piece of legislation that will have an impact on millions of people, those on prison plantations and their family members. Because it's an industry and it's about making money from poor people, because that's who's targeted the most. So we will be, as a network, as a media outlet, be working to line up those interviews. And if the mainstream media want to catch up later, then we'll let them catch up. But we had to do our part to, when there is important people activity, of letting people know about that activity. Now then, it's up to them whether or not they want to participate or not. Not everybody participates in the 9 areas, and that will be number 8, politics. And they have good reason, but if they're not, they better be training for war, because I think that's the only thing that, you know, short of, I don't know. I'm trying to have hope. Jeb Bush said he wanted to give black voters hope, and we'll be talking about him today. Because he said he wanted to give black voters hope and not free stuff. playing the race card and race baiting. And I mean, it's not even funny. It's like an inside joke, you know, to conservatives and whatnot. But I don't find it's funny. It's a old tired racist dog whistle that they've been blowing for a long time. It didn't start with Ronald Reagan, but, you know, they did really put out a whole bunch of commercials about the welfare queens. You know, the black woman wearing fake furs and driving a Cadillac. And, you know, that goes back to when I was a young person. So, yeah, that's what Jeb, a man named Jeb, has to say to black voters. We'll be talking about that today. But Jeb could have talked about the Justice Is Not For Sale Act. What is his thoughts as if he was president, would he sign the bill into law? Would he support President Obama, the current CEO of America, signing this bill? But no, he went for the lowbrow. I guess he's looking at Donald Trump and he's seeing that Donald Trump is being racist and talking about Latinos and Hispanics and whatnot, and it has him leading in the GOP polls, and Jeb Bush is struggling to keep up. So I guess he's going to, you know, take racist jabs at the black community, at the black voters. Like, we getting all this free stuff. But of course, Jeb Bush doesn't want to talk about the Justice Is Not For Sale Act, considering his connections throughout his political career to the private prison industry, because that is the number one thing, among other things, but that is the number one thing that the bill would do, and that is abolish private prisons and jails in the state of Texas, where he grew up. There have been a number of rebellions inside of some of those, I think it was the MTC, Management Training Corporation, running an immigrant detention facility, jail, prison plantation down there near the border in Willacy County. That's going on. He could have commented on that. You know, he can speak Spanish. Well, you know, what do you think about these other Spanish-speaking immigrants down here being used as slave labor that stop working and, you know, set fires to attract media attention? They attracted a whole bunch of guns and stuff. I remember that story vividly. And all the people running out, all the white men in their cowboy hats and boots and trucks and, you know, armed with their shotguns and other weapons and running out to the prison to keep them all contained. And they had stopped work over a horrible medical treatment and, you know, medical malpractice is really is what it is. So, you know, Jeb Bush could have went a number of ways in doing, you know, his outreach, but he chose to go, you know, the low blow route, the stereotype. So yeah, we'll talk about that today. Anything else you want to talk about? We'll only be on air for about an hour today. Still waiting to hear from Brother Dave. He may not get back in time out on the road to do his program. So we'll let you know. We'll update you. But tonight, Race Treaty at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. The Lotus Place Radio will be on air at 10 o'clock p.m. all Eastern Time. Now, I don't know if y'all had an opportunity to watch the latest police snuff film, snuffing out a black person. But there's one that is out there, and I debated whether or not I wanted to publish it. It's published on YouTube. I made a copy of it because, you know, this is evidence, and sometimes these things disappear from the internet, and then there's no copies to be found. But I debated whether or not I wanted to publish the execution of Jeremy McDowell, a 28-year-old black man and quadriplegic who was in a wheelchair. And, you know, not only was Mr. McDowell contemplating suicide, he had actually made an attempt and shot himself, attempt on his own life. when the police came out, three of them were seen on the video that was taken by the bystander person documenting police activity behind enemy lines. Yeah, you could count one, two, three of them formed a firing squad. That's the second video where I've seen them form a firing squad. I'm sure there's more than that, but I think it was Milton Bradley. I'm not sure. I know that's a game maker's name, but or was it Bradley Milton, the man in Michigan, the homeless man with who was bipolar or suffering schizophrenia or something, but he was homeless. They were threatening him with a dog, and they formed a firing squad. Well, I know of at least three. I've seen three where they set up firing squads. Just that's people getting in the line, pointing their weapon at their intended victim, and firing on them. And so it's a gruesome graphic video, but Americans are used to gruesome and graphic, aren't they? They make a lot of money off of it. But it's also documentation of their crimes. You want to respect the dignity of the victim. But then as a publisher, it's like, you know, people don't believe you when you tell them these stories that this is police terrorism, that these people are not coming into these communities to serve and to protect anyone, because they certainly didn't even want to protect Mr. McDowell from himself. There was no attempt to talk him down. There was no setup of perimeter and keep everybody back so he doesn't hurt anyone else. And let's get somebody out here that's trained to talk to people who are suicidal and threatening to hurt themselves. I know, you know, that it isn't a movie, it isn't a TV series, but we've seen those scenes, and you think it wouldn't make sense, right? Somebody threatening to jump off a bridge. Hey, you bring out, you know, the detectives and whatnot that have had some kind of training of talking people down off the ledge. But there was no attempt to talk Mr. Jeremy McDowell down from the ledge. He was only seen. There was no empathy for him. And then that does bring in the racial aspects. Three white cops, science has shown, there's no debate, no opinions about it, several studies document that the majority of white people don't have empathy. This is a biological problem, mental problem, bio, you know. We should get Ben Carson to work on it, but, you know, he's not interested. And he also is interested in pushing racial stereotypes instead of as a neurosurgeon trying to come up with some kind of procedure to turn that racist gene off in their brain, that race chip off in their brain. So, you know, that's what I think would be a good contribution of his time and talents instead of what he's doing now. But there was no empathy for Mr. Jeremy McDowell by these yet-to-be-named three police officers classified as racially as white. We don't know their ethnicities, whether they was Italians or French descent or where they come from in Europe, but, you know, they're Europeans. And it's just horrific, man. It's horrific. I've noticed, you know, patterns. If you watch enough of these videos, you wouldn't pick up on patterns and stuff. And, you know, whenever there's these type of killings, whenever these assaults occur, like on the black teen that we saw the other day just slammed to. No, man, you see patterns. And what is that pattern? These police issuing commands, right? Stop resisting, stop resisting, stop resisting. That's one of the things they say. Or hands up. Put your hands up. Put your hands up. Put your hands. Just robotic commands. Like they're not even human. Like they have no souls. No asking questions. Man, why do you want to kill yourself? What's the problem, sir? You're frightening people in the community, and we have to deal with this, and we have to get you some help. So how can we help you today? How can we help you throw the gun on the ground or put your hands up and then address whatever has caused you to come out here and try to kill yourself in front of the community, sir? We got experts, we got doctors, we got all these people with degrees at the hospital, and, you know, we got social services. We don't know, you know, what is someone denying you Obamacare or something? Do you not have access to good health care? You in pain all the time? You know, I don't know. But, sir, we can resolve this a different way. No, that. See, that's what a human being would do, say to another human being who's distraught. A robot would just come out there and shout pre-programmed commands. Now, I, of course, we're talking about flesh and blood. I don't know if they cyborgs or what, but, you know, but these are supposed to be human beings, people who wanted to sacrifice for the community, put their life in danger on the line for the community, to protect and serve the community. But too many instances, protect and serve means violence. That's what it means. That's what it turns into. So, you know, I don't want to make excuses for them, because I feel like they should face charges. They should face murder. They voluntarily, without not no involuntary, they volunteered to form that firing squad and fire on this man in a wheelchair. And I watched the video twice. I don't like watching stuff like that all the time. It's real life. It's not the movies, you know. But at no time did I see what they call furtive movements in the industry. That's what they call it in the policing industry, because it is an industry. They unionized and everything. Great benefits. It's an industry. So, I don't know, man. This is the kind of stuff that radicalizes people. So what are your thoughts? I could say a whole lot. I could get on here and I can rant and spit facts and share stories, but this has got to come to an end. This has got to come to an end by any means necessary. The elders that I respect, the ancestors that I respect, like Malcolm X, they not only talked about, you know, violence and self-defense as intelligence, but he also talked about participating in the people activity of politics, number six. So I'm willing to try everything now. I'm willing to try everything, but it's at a point now to where you can't blame people for, you know, wanting to start forming militias and stuff. Mostly those are identified with white people. Michigan militias and militias all over the place. And they're pretty much demonized by the MSM. But this is, you know, in a righteous manner, this is a way, this is what radicalizes people and make them want to join militias to protect their community, because of stuff like this. This is just a blatant murder. And all them bullets that they fire, man, those bullets could ricochet off of stuff, go into homes and houses, and you know, so don't tell me they, you know, got the community safety in mind the way they spit and lead. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on any of this today? The telephone number is 641-715-3660. 549-032-POUND is the participant code. Let's get that out one more time. 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-POUND. For those already dialed in, just hit *6 and 1 to comment on air. I don't have all the answers. All I can do is just study and look at what people have done in the past and the results that they got. no matter, you know, how incremental it may have been. Did it bring any kind of, I'm willing to try any and everything. But when you just have straight up murderers roaming the community, I mean, with not even a second thought to what they did to that man, not even a second thought. I know they saw the witnesses and people with the cameras, and no second thought. They still went out there and gunned this man down. Man, if that ain't evidence of just how cold-hearted these are, military troops, people out in the field, out there killing the enemy. This is how they're getting down. So people want to talk about American troops on the soil and the Constitution say this and that, posse comitatus, all this and that. And yeah, y'all could try to, you know, say people crazy about being concerned about J-Ham, where you got U.S. Special Forces training with law enforcement in these police departments in different parts of the state, and call them tinfoil hat wearers and, you know, be those people that try to minimize something that is a sign of something that is a serious concern. And then you get videos like this of these cops, man, going out there and just gunning down people. I don't want to hear nothing about this man had a gun. Yeah, he had a gun and he tried to end his own life. There's no report that I have seen that he was out there threatening anyone else's life. Maybe he was mistreated out there in them streets. Maybe, you know, he was just ready to end it all and he wanted to do it publicly. Whatever his reason, he wasn't in his right mind, obviously. Already, I mean, you just don't have any kind of compassion, no empathy. You just an animal, man. You just an animal, trained dog, trained to go out there and just kill. It's sick, man, the place that we live in, what's going on. Then I get accused of being a radical. Other people get accused of being, I mean, come on. We're talking about radical. That if you don't think the police state is radical, then you must not live in one of those communities. It's the only way I can explain it, is you don't live in one of those communities. So anyway. So Jeb Bush, he was asked today. Let's see what Jeb was asked. He was asked today, excuse me, that was yesterday. He suggested on Thursday, this is from an article written by Kerry Dam for NBC News, from the website NBCNews.com. Again, Kerry Dam wrote this report, said Jeb Bush suggested on Thursday that he wants to promise African-American voters hope and aspiration rather than free stuff. Asked by a white man at a South Carolina event how he planned to reach out to the black community, Bush responded, "Our message is one of hope and aspiration. It isn't one of division and get in line and we'll take care of you with free stuff. Our message is one that is uplifting, that says you can achieve earned success." So just a reformatted, regurgitated political argument that they have been saying since Reagan, probably since Ben Tillman. We want to talk about South Carolina. Go back to the 1800s, the reconstruction of white supremacy. This is a political argument. But yet he's saying we can get around division. CNN got some footage of it. Let's go ahead. This is like at a town hall. Let's listen for ourselves to hear what Jeb Bush had to say.
Republicans get 4 to 7% maybe of the African American vote for president. Those are kind of the numbers that I hear about. If you double that, you're still at a low number, right? But if you double that, you win elections in places like Ohio and Virginia. And we should make that case, because our message is one of hope and aspiration. It isn't one of division and get in line and we'll take care of you with free stuff. Our message is one that is uplifting, that says you can achieve earned success. We're on your side. Things can.
Okay, yeah. Enough with that. So they are the report that was written by Miss Dan did not take him out of context, and she quoted him accurately. So I mean, he was like, I was with him there until he was like, the free stuff, that's a racist dog whistle. That's a racist. I live in a county, how many times I've said it on this program, 80% white, surrounded by the descendants of Irish immigrants and Scottish immigrants and other Europeans. And a lot of them is getting quote unquote free stuff. In fact, they depend on it. And I don't mind them having it, or else they'd be starving and breaking into houses and stuff around here and stealing, and some of that does go on, but you know, it's not really that bad. I don't want to paint like I live in a crime infested community. It's crime going on, but it's not the type, you know, it's that nonviolent drug crime that they into here doing a lot of. But you know, I'm happy they got food stamps. I know the meals been shut down, the cotton meals been shut down, a lot of them. I passed some empty factories the other day as I was going with my daughter to go look at some cars in Gastonia. Passed all these empty, so I know it's hard out there. There's not many jobs. You'd be very lucky to have a manufacturing job with Chrysler, Daimler, at that plant here in Mount Holly. And there's a couple of other ones scattered around. But other than that, man, it's like McDonald's. It's like working at the mall and you know, service. But, you know, a lot of people is on food stamps. A lot of people is on unemployment. There's a lot of people living in poverty here. So why would he come to Gaston County and say, what would he say to these people about the free quote unquote stuff that they getting? Is that what he would say to them? Is that how? No, he would probably say something like what he just said to them people in South Carolina. He would send that racist dog whistle. And none of these people would sit there and realize, I bet you, if you got honest people in that room and you asked them, how many of you got EBT card in your purse or in your wallet right now? I bet you, man, if they was being honest, probably 30% of the other people, a third of them would. If they from those counties that they are in, because South Carolina is like really an impoverished state with lots of impoverished white people. But of course, to eliminate those programs, you want to say it's the black people, or it's the Mexicans, or it's the Hispanics. See, he wasn't going to go there with the Mexicans because, you know, his wife is Hispanic. He wasn't going to go there and use that racial stereotype. And other Republicans have, saying, you know, these undocumented immigrants getting welfare and whatever. Let's pass bills to stop them from getting Social Security that they paying into, even though they undocumented and illegally working. No, he wants to say like it's the black people in South Carolina, in a state that just removed a Confederate battle flag, one of the flags that was then adopted by racist terrorists. And we saw the racist terrorist Dylan Roof, pictures of him with the flag and at the Confederate museums and whatnot, admiring his Nazi grandfathers and forefathers, just hero worshiping slavers, racist enslavers, people whose names should be wiped off the face of the earth. See, yeah, Jeb Bush goes into that state and blows a racist dog whistle, man. It's just really pathetic, man. It's really pathetic. And then people say, you know, like Ben Carson to say, you know, it's in our minds. It's in our minds. Like, you know, he's a neurosurgeon, so you can believe Ben Carson. Black people is making up a lot of stuff. If they just stop having abortions and making out of wedlock babies and had access to medical care, which he said they need, that'll end poverty. But anything, you know, we're not going to give them Obamacare, though, because I want to abolish that. So, it is some straight up racism being transmitted through mass media. And it's not so codified either. It's really not that codified. That's what the fascination is with Trump, because he's just being blatant with his racism. And he's leading in the polls. And people just can't seem to understand it. No, what it is they want to remain in denial that we don't live in a post-racial society. They want to live in denial, and this is all evidence. It's all being recorded, documented. So we'll check the phone lines when we come back on the other side. Again, if you have a comment, just hit *6 and 1 to comment on air. Are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Again, I am Scotty Reed. I'm in on this mic from behind these enemy lines. So, yeah, this is what, and he was asked by a white man, you know. I guess there was no black people in the room to ask for themselves. Max had already been to the PBS taping, which we did a program on that the other day. It's in the podcast if you missed it. But here's a white man. You know, how did Bush plan to reach out to the black community? And that's what Bush said. Our message is one of hope and aspiration. It's not we'll take care of you with free stuff. So, yeah. Does he say that when he goes to lobby before the American-Israeli Political Action Committee, AIPAC? Does that what he say to them when he go to speak to them? Is that his message? Does he have a message, a hope, an aspiration for Israeli American Jews, you know, the ones that got dual citizenship and they have a pledge allegiance to Israel first and foremost and to American, you know, the United States of America Incorporated second. So they are here in America lobbying for free stuff for Israel to the tune of $1 billion a year. Now, y'all can say I'm engaging, like Hillary would say and others would say, that I'm engaging in anti-Semitism, but I ain't got nothing against a language. People can speak whatever language they want to speak. I am not, you know, against the Semitic language that originated in Africa in any kind of way. But we are talking facts. If we want to talk about free stuff and people taking advantage of free stuff and getting in line for it, is that what he would tell the AIPAC people? And every president goes before AIPAC. I think Ron Paul is the only one that ran for president that he wasn't invited, number one. They knew not to invite him, but Number two, you know, he didn't want to go. He wasn't going to go. So they didn't invite him and he didn't go. He's the only, but every other presidential candidate, you just wait till it start getting close. You'll see it pop up in your news feed of each one of these presidential candidates, be they Democrats or Republicans, will go before AIPAC. Well, hell, I think Obama even traveled to Israel, didn't he? I remember that picture of Obama with the yarmulke on at the Wailing Wall and praying at the Knesset or speaking to the Knesset. Y'all remember that? Yeah, man. Hillary Clinton, all of them. So, that's not what they're going down there telling those people, that we have a message of hope for, you know, Israel, that it could work out its problems of occupying Palestine and come to a two-state solution, and we hope that's what y'all aspiring to do. We certainly would like to promote that message of hope, that the people can settle their differences peacefully and end occupation and all of that kind of stuff. But when it comes in terms of, you know, the American taxpayer providing you with tens of millions and hundreds of millions of dollars worth of weaponry, smart bombs, all kind of stuff, all kind of military goodies, when we give you cash and you know, calling it aid, and you're able to then turn around and give universal health care to all your citizens and other free stuff, well, we're going to have to bring that to an end. No, he ain't going to no AIPAC and giving them no message like that. And indeed, like Miss Carrie Dan wrote, this harkens back to what Romney said in 2012. I hope people understand this. Your friends who like Obamacare, you remind them of this. If they want more stuff from government, tell them to go vote for the other guy. More free stuff. But don't forget, nothing is really free. That's what Romney said. And of course, you had Ben Carson out today. He would defend what Jeb Bush has said and defend, of course, the similar things he have said by saying that I'm not out here trying to be PC or politically correct, which is code word for saying, you know, you may find this offensive, but I'm going to say it anyway because I got First Amendment speech rights. It doesn't matter if I'm being racist, if I'm being offensive, if I'm just being foul. I'm going to say it anyway because, you know, the founding fathers, and, you know, going off into that fairy tale. So that's what they outreach consists of. So if you're a black conservative, how y'all feel about that? You know, we invite black conservatives to call in and voice their opinion. I noticed Scott Walker dropped out of the presidential race. That's the Incarceration Nation leader in USA Inc. Scott, Wisconsin is. He dropped out the race, and there was this guy who, this black conservative who was campaigning for him. I would love to hear what he has to say, but yeah. But of course, Bush doesn't want to talk about his connections to the private prison corporation. If he wanted to do outreach to black voters, and it appears, you know, I could be wrong, but I don't think I am, but it appears that right now, a lot of people who participate in the voting process, and those who don't, who have been out in the streets and voicing their complaints about the criminal justice system, and we've had experts writing books, and they've been talking about it for years on talk media circuit, talk shows circuit, political talk radio, talking about these issues and whatnot. So you get a major bill called the Justice Is Not For Sale Act introduced into the Senate and into the Congress, House of Representatives, I should say. And Jeb Bush should, you know, connect the dots and say, well, I know a lot of these young black kids been out there talking about hands up, don't shoot, and we need policing reforms and hold these police accountable. And what they've been talking about, how the police is just slave catchers out here trying to catch neo slaves because they saw Kanye West's video that he projected on the side of a building. What was the Kanye West's song? New Slaves, yeah, that's what he called it. He even mentioned the GO group and the CCA by name. I'm not a fan of Kanye and some of his work. Certainly not a fan of his clothing line, but I was a fan of that song, that track, and then he broadcast that all around the world on the side of buildings. I think, you know, although he hasn't come out publicly saying it, but I think Kanye West is an abolitionist. That was certainly an abolitionist message in that video. So Jeb Bush could have said something about, well, we're going to take a look at this Justice is Not for Sale Act that addresses private prisons and jails. I think that it's you know, something that we need to look at both morally and fiscally as a nation. And let's talk about the merits. I know Bernie Sanders and you know, I can't remember the Hispanic guy from Texas. He from Texas, where Jeb Bush grew up. And let's debate the merits and whatnot. And no, he didn't go there. We gonna give y'all some hope and inspiration. Well, hope and inspiration for what? You know, they talking about justice. They want justice. Think they made it clear they want justice when the Jeremy McDowells in their communities get, you know, executed by a police firing squad. They want justice. So what kind of hope is you giving those voters? Because, you know, they vote too. How, you know, those are issues that's important to them. So how do you plan to, you know, attract them to vote for you? Well, we're just going to give you hope and aspiration and no free stuff. Wow. Jeb. It's a crying shame, to quote a song. It's a crying shame. So, look, 641-715-3660 is the number if you have any comments or questions. The participant code is 549032 pound. And of course, here's *6-1 to comment on air. I'm going to play this video that is posted in the program description on Black Talk Radio Network. It's also a news report in the blog section on blacktalkradionetwork.com. So, but this is, you're about to hear, we can call it graphic audio because you're not able to see it. But it's graphic audio of the execution of 28-year-old Jeremy McDowell, again, already suffering from a gunshot wound when the police, you know, arrive on the scene. And again, this is it's important to give you the date. Wilmington, Delaware. So this is the Wilmington police, three of them executing Jeremy McDowell.
He's over here! Give me your head! Show me your head!
Oh, shit.
Show me your head! Drop the gun! 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 Drop the gun!
Hands up, cuz. They shot his ass. He's reaching again. Oh, he bleeding. He's bleeding.
Grab his hand. What the fuck?
Put your hand.
yeah, if you've seen that video, it was just sickening. It was just really sickening. Now, one of the things I heard the dude say that they shot him with some pellets. It looked like the dude had a shotgun. The first cop had a shotgun, because you heard right initially when the video started playing or the audio started going was a loud shot. I think that was a shotgun. But it got me to thinking, you know, because they have like special equipment, special weapons for crowd control and whatnot. Now, you got a call of a person who is suicidal, who has already shot himself, pretty distraught, out in the public, also could have been homeless for all I know, you know, and he already done shot himself. So you get the call, suicidal man with a gun in a wheelchair, quadriplegic, on such and such street. And so you go out there, you think you would, you know, have like those shotguns that shoot them bean bags that, you know, are pretty heavy, or even rubber bullets, you know what I'm saying? Or even rubber bullets, which those can kill you if they shoot you in the head, in the eye, wherever. You can, you know, be killed by rubber bullets. But they also had them bean bag, you know, bullets that shoot those things. They could have responded if they had to use force, if they didn't want to. Look, we ain't want to call out no psychologist to talk this man down from the ledge and see if we can help him out, because we tired of giving, you know, people social services and all that free stuff. We can't give him free mental health care, or, you know, if he is homeless now, he lost his home, we can't help him with free public housing. You know, if he got a drug problem, we can't help him with free, you know, drug rehabilitation. Whatever is got this man distraught that he already done shot himself, we don't got time for that. We ain't got time for that. So we just gonna take these, you know, beanbag rounds, and we just gonna shoot them and disable him and, you know, take him in alive. No, within seconds. I don't know how long that video was from the first shot. Let me rewind this right quick just so I can see how many seconds it took.
He's over here. Give me your head.
That's first contact. Oh. Right there. 9 seconds. On first contact, he's over here, blam, he hunted him down. I found the rabbit that we was looking for. I found the deer. He's over here. He's behind this car. Bam, shot him. Then shot the man. He already bleeding in the side. And, you know, when he was moving around and stuff, he was like checking his wounds. And so, you know, he already done shot himself. Now he got another wound from this first blast, which I can't confirm. It was some kind of shotgun weapon. And they shoot him. Then the rest, the other two come. So that's 3 total. And they get in front of the building. So even if he was intending to harm anyone else, well, you just walk right in front of his line of sight. You put yourself in danger walking in front of this man in a line, like 3 ducks in a row, right in front of this building that he's across the street from, and you're probably, I would estimate, within 20 feet of this man. You put yourself in danger. So if he did want to pick up his gun and point it at you and shoot you, he could have done that. But he didn't. The video goes on for about a minute 19. So that's a whole minute and 19 that he didn't make any furtive movements, as y'all call them. He didn't grab a gun, make any sudden movement, because, I mean, he already shot up. And he looks pretty weak. This is a quadriplegic, doesn't look like he, you know, was getting a whole lot of food or nutrition or whatnot. He already looked pretty weak. And, you know, y'all formed a firing squad and just killed this man, you know. But Jeb Bush probably ain't seen it. We'll see if we can. Anybody will ask him any questions about that kind of stuff. Again, this just occurred yesterday around 11:30 is when the first reports, 11:30 a.m. So yesterday morning, Thursday morning. And then again, like I was mentioning, all the robotic commands. Put your hands up and This is what you call community policing. This is Wilmington, Delaware. We'll see. I guess right now it's under investigation. Terno Affairs is getting involved or whatnot, and state prosecutor. I haven't heard anything yet about them announcing that we're looking at this and we've seen the video, and no, still early on in the killing, so perhaps we'll see those things in the coming hours. But just the robotic way that they went about to kill this man is just says something about their lack of humanity, man. They're missing something that a lot of people who are humans, these people are missing something, man, who do this. And, you know, folks might call me a racist. I know it's a lot of white people. The scientific studies say that. Now, the majority, I didn't say all, but the majority have a lack of empathy for non-white people, particularly black people. They're really, because Jeb Bush saying they just getting a bunch of free stuff like they leeches off their society. So, you know. But there are black cops who would do the same. Some of those firing squads I saw had black cops in it. One guy in Michigan, like five cops, two of them was black. They formed a five squad firing line in a parking lot of a strip mall. And the people were screaming. You could hear the people screaming, saying, don't shoot them, don't kill them, and whatnot. And they like, blah, 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 blah. So I'm not exaggerating when I close out a program and tell you we live in battlefield America, or I'm broadcasting from behind enemy lines. I'm not the one who is exaggerating. I'm just calling it as I see it. A lot of these dudes, some of these dudes I think are, you know, because the Obama administration, and not just with Obama, it's been going on, but the federal government, the executive branch, has a program that gives affirmative action to veterans from these wars, man. Iraq, Afghanistan. So some of these dudes, man, possibly got PTSD and maybe gotten addicted to killing, and who knows, man. Something ain't right with these people, man. But to me, the proper response procedure would not have been to form a firing squad. It would have been to set up a perimeter, call some people out there that's designed, that have been trained to talk people down off the ledge, get the maybe the community pastor. Yeah, you know, what was the church clergy in that community? Did you try to contact him and say, do you know this man, and can you talk to him for us, Rev, and perhaps you can hook him up with some of the outreach services that you have? No, man, that just makes too much sense. If, you know, we was there other than to hunt people down and kill them, it's a crying damn shame that we tolerate this. And then, you know, nobody seems to have an answer on how to stop it. Let me do a quick check. As I stated, I'm only going to be on an hour today. See if Tando Radio Show will be coming on at 6. I don't think so. Brother Dave said he was having some problems with transportation, getting back, so let's see. Yeah, so you can tune in to the station at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. He will either be on live, or you will hear some pre-recorded programming. The petition, I have linked to the petition. Jeb Bush, of course, don't want to talk about private prisons and stuff, because he connected to them. But the petition that we created, Abolish Private Prisons and Jails in the USA, That's the name of it. If you're on change.org, type that in their little search engine. Abolish private prisons and jails in the USA. It is a petition calling for President Obama in Congress to support this Justice is Not for Sale Act legislation. And it has lots of links to connect it to chattel slavery on Wall Street. Call it what it is, legalized slavery and involuntary servitude. It talks about the majority of the people being incarcerated over nonviolent, victimless, man-made up drug crimes and other crimes like prostitution and you know, just victimless, where people are in situations where they need help, not to be thrown into slavery. Even threw a little something in there for conservatives that want to talk about freedom and liberty and, you know, Ayn Rand. She said the only power any government has is the power to crack down on criminals. And when there aren't enough criminals, or one makes them, one declares so many things to be a crime that it becomes impossible for men to live without breaking laws. So. Give you some history there, some social fiscal conservatism there from Ayn Rand. And, you know, it's well documented that the corporations are behind many of these laws to criminalize people, make criminals for profit, open up the door to Wall Street in the 80s with Reagan, change the federal parole system so that people got to stay in there longer, even if they do get rehabilitated, or the American public changes its mind like now, and majority feel like people shouldn't be in prison for smoking weed and all that. No, you got to do 85% of your time. No parole for you. No, none of that. Nah. So it's something in here for everybody. No matter what political persuasion they may be, because if you believe in liberty and justice and freedom, obviously, you know, if you any kind of human, you want it for everybody. So the bill right now, which was launched 4 days ago, has about 422 signatures out of 479 views. That's what they tell me. Of course, you know, change.org, you could spend money to promote petitions. It is a for-profit. It's not a non-profit. But they have a large database. But before, you know, we spend money to promote something either on change.org or on Facebook or on Twitter, we want to, you know, do all we can do in sharing it. So that's a pretty good conversion rate. We do want to try to get more views on this, to send a message to the president or the CEO of America and, you know, all the corporate officers who we call the Senate and the representatives. That's really what they are, corporate officers. I'm telling you, you know, these are facts. But it's just saying that I support abolishing private prisons and jails in the United States. Just to some of the reasons that some of these people have signed, I'll share with you. Laura from St. Louis, Missouri said, private prisons use inmates as a means to profit. It costs the U.S. economically and socially. I would agree, Laura. Alan from Port Ewing, New York said, there can never be incentive-based incarceration or law enforcement. Such a thing is incompatible with human rights. This country has been on the path to fascism. Yeah. Some might say it began as one, Alan, but we appreciate you making the move to abolish private prisons and jails in the United States and restoring the federal parole system and ending the ICE quota system. We appreciate it. Sister Gina from San Antonio, Texas said it's genocide. Enough said. Mr. Glenn from Detroit says slavery should be abolished, not big business, in 2015. Couldn't agree more. Sister Lean out of Gatesville, North Carolina said, when people make money off incarceration, money powers pressures against blind justice. Let me read that again. When people make money off incarceration, money powers pressure against blind justice and encourage jail sentences instead of more productive sentencing options. So yeah, if she talking about that 85% federal parole system where you got to do 85% of your time, Reagan and the Democrats passed that. I think it was in 1984. Yeah, the Sentencing Reform Act doesn't allow the professionals and the people who work with these people every day on the prison plantation, the doctors, or if they in some kind of little work program and they don't get in trouble, they manage somehow to stay out of fights and whatnot, and you know, get a degree, a GED, whatever, some job skills. And no, that doesn't matter. We're not going to let you out of prison. What you was convicted of was you didn't shoot anybody, kill anybody, or rape anybody. You sold like a pound of weed. We sentenced you to 25 years. You got to do 85% of that before you can get out of prison. See, that's to keep them in there longer so that every year or quarterly or however much money the U.S. taxpayer got to fork over to these corporations, these private prisons and jails, detention facilities. Yeah, they want to keep them checks coming in, and their buddies in the corporate world, USA Inc., the corporate officers of America, they made that happen. They made that happen. And so this bill is all about reversing that part of it. It's you know, that part of that wing on this bird called slavery. So about chopping off wings, that's what it's about. Sister Rosalind in Cincinnati said, it's another form of slavery, it's the new Jim Crow. That's why I'm saying, man, Michelle Alexander, why haven't they invited her? Has she been saying anything about it on Twitter? I haven't even thought to check her Twitter account, but definitely we got to get her on Black Talk Radio Network as an attorney, as a person who's written a book about the new Jim Crow. How do you evaluate this bill? What would it do in terms of impacting mass incarceration, as you know, you call it? So, yeah. Now, closing out the program, I hate to share bad stories, but, you know, you had this man, I don't know if y'all seen this. This man killed his girlfriend, said that child support was taking his entire check. Like his check was like, he was making something like $8 an hour or something like that. And he had three kids with this woman. He's only 21 years old. He says that Tamika Jones, she was 33. So there's some age difference. I don't know how old the kids were. Marcus Gaffney, and we're not accepting any excuses from him. And he has been sentenced to 4 life terms in prison. I feel you on the issue of debtors' prisons and the game of child support. And I can see how you might have felt like you were seduced by an older woman and whatnot, and she had children with you, and that you were a victim in that respect. I don't know how old you were when you first fathered a child. I don't know how y'all met and all of that. But she's like, you know, what, about 13 years older than him? 12 years older than him? Yeah, 12 years older than him. And they got 3 kids. And they was taking his whole check, man. They was basically taking his whole check. No, they probably was taking about 65% of his check, and he ain't making that much, you know. It's hard out here, and he worked 50 hours a week for $8.50 an hour. Now he got to pay this child support, and he can't live off of $161.48, which his net pay ended up being after he grossed $425. So I understand about debtors' prison. I understand about it don't make sense to put people in jail who are living under the poverty level themselves, and how are you calculating this child support for these three children that, you know, then he's probably prohibited from getting SNAP program like 80% of, I'm not going to say 80% of the white people in the county I live in, probably, I would say a third of them, probably 30% of them, 35%. I have to look at the unemployment rates for Gaston County, but yeah. But that, again, there's no excuse for this man to commit murder against Miss Tamika Jones. No excuse whatsoever. But I asked the question, and of course you could, you know, leave a message in the podcast comment section. Are these laws putting that much pressure on people? Because, you know, the child support system and the way they do people and the profiting from the corporations' involvement in that, and debtors' prison supposed to be outlawed constitutionally in just about every state constitution I have come across. I've read, and, you know, on New Abolitionist Radio, we did a review of all 50 constitutions looking for, you know, how they practice and legalize slavery. And most of them say they abolish debtors' prisons. But the trick is that they're not putting you in prison for being in debt and on this child support. They're putting you in prison, you know, on a technicality because you violated the judge's order to pay this child support. So we're not putting you in jail for debt. You're in violation of an order to make certain amount of payments on such and such debt. On such and such date. And if you file behind because you out of work or whatever, or you can't find nothing but an $8.50 a job, you know, per hour job at McDonald's or whatever, that's also using, you know, contractors that use prison slave labor, then we putting you in prison. Then you can make plastics and uniforms for McDonald's. See, it put pressure on people, and then these are some of the outcomes. Now, no way he should have been blaming this black woman. Now, she was older than him, and there's some social concerns there in terms of, you know, older women manipulating young teenage boys and then fathering children with them and then breaking up with them and then putting them, sicking a man on them, you know, the child support system on them. Another wing of the slave catcher mechanism in this country. These work busting 50 hours a week. He can't even, you know, pay electricity. He can't support himself on that. Again, no excuse, man. No excuse to go out and murder her. Maybe she was just ignorant and didn't know how she was participating in the overall system that seeks to enslave black men and whatnot. But, yeah, no excuse for him to kill this woman. So that's a pretty sad story, and we got to condemn this killing outright. Want to make that clear. We condemn this killing outright, and he has to suffer the consequences. But, again, this is an example of those people that want to talk about the B.O.B. myth. Y'all know that thing, I'm not going to say that word, I'm not going to say anymore, that phrase, that term, the B.O.B. See, when black people get convicted of these crimes, they pay for them. There are consequences. If he had been a white person killing a white woman, white man killing a white woman, and he got caught, he would be doing his time. So ain't got nothing to do with nobody's racial classification. But, you know, let's look at the underlying issues here, though. A system of slavery, debtors' prisons, the threat of debtors' prisons. Walter Scott was running because he didn't want to go to jail over child support. This man just gave up on life and said he going to take this woman's life, who he misidentified as the ultimate source of his pain and his struggles. He made some legitimate points about, let me see, made some points about her, you know, seducing him. Obviously, he was a minor. He just said it happened 10 years. She was like 10 years older than me. I was seduced by her. And then he talks like, you know, one of our lesser educated or articulate brothers from the hood. But he communicates that, you know, this woman, I'm not going to demonize the victim, but he doesn't have nice things to say about, you know, her reputation as being promiscuous or whatnot. So he said he fell for that. She got some babies out of him, and, you know, so he just bad mouthing her. But he says that he was just trying to eat. I was trying to eat. She got me paying basically my whole check while she at the club. I couldn't keep eating where I worked for the next umpteenth year. She had to go. So again, he didn't come to a logical solution, but he did have some problems. He had a problem with food security. I don't know who he was talking to or who he was griping to. Nobody talked him out off that ledge. He decided he was going to go kill this woman. So, I mean, it's just a messed up story all around. We got to end the system that produces such outcomes. And, you know, there's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. So, we come to the end of the program. Make sure tonight that you check out Race Treaty at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Lotus Place will be on at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. I will be back on air more than likely on Sunday night with Sister Amija Whitlock for an episode of Political Prisoner Radio. Make sure y'all follow us on Facebook. You can get all the updates and things from the network. We're on Twitter at Black Talk Radio. That's at Black Talk Radio. That's on Twitter, Facebook. Just type in blacktalkradionetwork.com. Make sure you click it to get the notifications from the page if you want to be updated, receive those updates in your social timeline if you're on Facebook. So anyway, recognize the fact that you live behind enemy lines. It's Battlefield America out there. There are people hunting you down and killing you on the spot. If you don't believe me, check out the story in the video of Jeremy McDowell, 28 years old, in Wilmington, Delaware, where three police officers formed a firing squad and took him out. That's how they responded to a man in distress who was suicidal and already had shot himself. Not anyone else shot himself, and they formed the police line. So if that isn't evidence right then and there, there's a battlefield out there. Casualties are being created every day. I don't know what is. I don't know what else to point you to. There's a bunch of videos I could point you to, but at what point does it get morbid? How many videos do I have to keep showing you over and over? Some of you, I think you enjoy seeing these videos, so I don't want to feed your sick habits. So anyway, develop battlefield awareness. Get with other people. Develop codification. We got to come up with a better response to this rampant killing in our communities across this land. We had to approach it from all angles. The violence of the state and then the violence against residents, against each other. All of it it's all the same problem. Let's end this system. Dissolve this corporation, and maybe one day we can create an actual nation and you know, get away from being a corporation that has been serving other corporations since 1871. I'm out, y'all. Peace and blessings to all.
We do whatever we do, we survive.
Drop it.